Good morning, everyone. I don't know if I introduced myself earlier. I'm sorry if I didn't. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I'm so proud and honored to be the pastor here at University United Methodist Church, and I'm so glad you all are here today. This message today is the core of my theology. And so I'm excited and eager to share with you my thoughts on this. So in our Phoenix Affirmation book, oh, I forgot to get my nerdy props. Hold on. So in this book, The Phoenix Affirmations, the author, Eric Elness, tells a story of a father who calls into a radio show, a talk show, in which two theologians, some scholars, are on, and they're there to talk about their book and the book they wrote on about Jesus. They each have their own point of view on Jesus, and so this father calls in not about anything to do with their book, but about something that's really on his heart. And he asks this question to the scholars. He says, I have, my daughter and I have not been going to church, and so it's been a while, and we tried a church, and we went to the church, and I loved the church. I thought it was a great church. But then I learned what the Sunday school was teaching my daughter, and it really challenges me, and so I want to get your thought on this. And so the father shared that his daughter had been told that if she and her father and others that she cares about don't believe exactly what this church believes, that they will spend eternity in a lake of fire. And he was very troubled by this. He said, this isn't what I believe, but this church is teaching this to my child, and could I be wrong, and what's going on? And I really don't know what to do or what to believe. And so the scholars kind of sort of answered the question, but kind of didn't. And so I thought to myself, what would I say if someone came to me and wanted to have a cup of coffee and asked this question to me? So this whole conversation today is my answer to this question, but also I'm going to answer this question from the point of view of our church. So, I certainly believe in a loving God. From the affirmation, you can probably imagine that I believe that God loves us all and is all loving, and I personally cannot imagine a God who loves us that would want someone, a group of people, or a person to live in eternity in a fire if God loves them. So that's my quick answer. But I also want to share with you our United Methodist tradition. And this is going to answer our question right out of our Book of Discipline. See, I told you I had to bring something nerdy up. This is the Book of Discipline. This is our rule book. It also has our history and doctrine in it. And within it, on paragraph 102, and it's found in this one on page 50, it says this: prevenient grace. And I wonder if any of my confirmation students remember what this means. Prevenient grace. The divine love that surrounds all humanity and precedes any and all of our conscious impulses. This is what I imagine prevenient grace being. Prevenient grace, the divine love that surrounds all humanity. It comes before us. God loves us before us and before we do anything, before we know God, before we know how to pray, before we even know that God is loving us. God loves us. And God loves us even before we accept God's love. I'd like to talk about our scripture today. Psalm 139. Boy, God is there even when we try to run away. God is there. God is in the darkness. God is in the light. God is there. God's love is always there. We can't escape God's love. In our letter to the Romans, our Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Romans, And before he went to this new church, he was writing a letter just to introduce himself and where he falls when it comes to being a follower of Christ. And he writes, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing." And in his context, he even names rulers, because in Rome, there were some harsh rulers. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. So if we turn to the theology of creation, which Joyce so eloquently talked about today in her prayer, creation, God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and the land and the sky and the animals in the sea and the animals on land, the vegetation and humans. God created all this to love all of creation. God loves all of creation, including humans, all of humanity. Why would God create something that God did not love? And in fact, most of the Bible talks about loving one another, loving the earth, caring for the earth, loving for one another, caring for one another. And so, if God is telling us to do that, God must be a God of love. From the affirmation today, one thing struck me. In Christ, all things are made new. We can all be made new. That means every day we can be made new. Every day we have a new beginning. So what does being made new look like to you if your starting point is God loves me? How can you be made new if that's where you begin? God loves me. You are loved forever. You are loved forever. Guess what? This applies to all of you. God loves you, and there is nothing you can do about it. Nothing. You are worthy of God's love because God created you. God created you for a reason. And so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to share that love? Are you going to accept that love? Are you going to try to run from that love? That's not going to work out because in Psalm it said you can go wherever you want, but God will be there. Nothing can separate you from God's love. From this book, I loved this. As Christians, we affirm that the path of Jesus is found where Christ's followers are continually discovering and rediscovering that they and all people are loved beyond their wildest imagination, and they determine to live their lives according to this discovery. We find in this discovery and surrender, the very essence of salvation, which is a process, not an end point, within an eternal journey. So God's love is a couple of layers. God loves me, God loves you, an individual. But God loves all of humanity, everyone in this space, outside of this space, and in this world. And so how would you treat another? How would you treat another? How would you talk with another? How would you interact with another? How would you look at another? If your first thought about another was, God loves this person. How would you treat another if your first thought was, God loves this person? And how would you treat yourself if your first thought was, God loves me? How would you treat yourself if your first thought was, God loves me? And I'll close with our affirmation. Christian love of ourselves includes basing our lives on the faith that in Christ, all things are made new, and that we and all people are loved beyond our wildest imagination for eternity. And that is my answer to the Father's question. Amen.